Well, today's one of those messages that hits us all, I'm certain, at one time or another. And I'm calling it Battles, Bitterness, and Breakthrough. We all have battles to fight, and we've all at times deal with bitterness, and we're promised breakthrough as God's people. Bitterness is a poison. It's interesting that the Scripture uses the phrase, this is found in Acts 8, and happened to speak to a man of a man named Simon the Sorcerer, who was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. That word gall, it really has its roots in the bile the liver produces. It's a bitter thing, and it's just like the bitterness of bitterness. You're in the grasp of bitterness, the gall of bitterness, the heart of bitterness. And sometimes people find themselves in that place. Sometimes they have the element of anger and envy and jealousy because you feel like you're not getting something you should have gotten or somebody got what you were supposed to have. And there can be jealousy and envy in the heart of bitterness when it gets a hold of you. Sometimes and very often it's just grudge-bearing, a lingering resentment, a seething resentment, a grudge that has a grip on your mind and on your heart, the unforgiveness that's rooted deeply. And not only do you realize it has a hold of you, but you don't even really want it to let you go. It's just so much has you. You have become enslaved by it. We have to be careful of this. In the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12, I'm going to be in Exodus 15. That's our passage today. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that a root of bitterness can spring up. It gets rooted in our life. It springs up. And then it defiles the people around us. That's the reason a truly bitter person often has trouble finding company unless it's other bitter people. You know, if you can get a group of people that decides they're all bitter about the same thing, there can be a comradeship around that bitterness, but it's a poisonous bunch to hang out with. We don't want to be bitter. We don't want to be held captive by bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. Doesn't mean you may not have reason to be angry and bitter, but you better not let it get you. In Exodus 15, we have a beautiful story, and it's a powerful story, and yet it's a very challenging story. It takes place right after God's people have been marched through the Red Sea on dry ground by their leader Moses. They've been liberated from bondage. They had been under the heel of the Egyptians as slaves for decades and decades and decades, and now the liberator has come and God has led them out. And just a few days after that, they go out into the wilderness for 3 days. And rather than go ahead and describe the story, let's let God's Word do that. Exodus 15, beginning with verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they had came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. In other words, Marah means bitterness. Verse 24, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, ye have ear to his commandments and teach all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians." And that's a reference to those plagues and judgments that came against Egypt. He said, "For I am the Lord who heals you." This is the first occurrence of the Hebrew name for God, Jehovah Rapha. God our healer, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Now notice verse 27, beautifully. Then, that is after they were tested at the waters of bitterness. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. I love the way this story ends because it tells us if we pass the test, you go from looking for water, thirsting for water, to having 12 wells of water. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel. They had a well per tribe. There were 70 palm trees. The palm tree, I remember a number of years ago, Debbie and Bob Carlson gave me a staff that was made out of the heart of a palm tree. And on it, it had a little tag that described the palm tree and said that in biblical terms, it referred to prosperity. It's a very hard-hearted wood. But so there's a beautiful picture there of provision, healing, wellness, wholeness, prosperity when you pass the test of the bitter waters. So there's some lessons here that I want to share with you this morning. Let's jump right in those. The first lesson I want to share with you that we discover here at Mara is this. The problem often exists before you arrive. You see, when they got to the waters at Mara, they were already bitter. Those waters didn't become bitter because they were there. We don't know how long they had been bitter. We don't know what had happened in the past that caused these waters to be so bitter. But there's perhaps some things that we can guess at. I would guess that after 3 days in the desert without any water, I know in the weather we've had the last few weeks, you go 3 hours, you get to looking for water. You think about 3 days, I would imagine they were thirsty, dry mouth, getting parched. And then up ahead, they see something glistening. Is it a mirage? And they realize, no, it's waters. And can you just see the dust flying as they begin to run? And how those young folks, well, all of them left without being feeble. So all of them were able to move pretty good. But some of them are racing. And the first ones that get there, they fall down and they begin to get some water. And it's bitter. I'm sure it looks sweet. Oh, it was inviting you to a refreshing. Oh, you just, yesterday we had grandkids and playing out in the yard. I got hot. I went and got me a blue Gatorade. Put it in a glass. And Anna Laura's going to laugh at this because she did yesterday. Put it in a glass, put a chunk of watermelon in it. And I was enjoying me. I told her it was a hillbilly martini, but whatever a martini is, I really don't even know. But I know it's got alcohol in it, but this had no alcohol in it. But I'm just joking. But it was blue Gatorade. And it was so good because it was so hot. And they thought they were about to be refreshed. But not so. So here's the lesson. Often in our lives, we find ourselves in the middle of a mess we didn't make. But yet, we got to deal with it. You ever been there? And sometimes you may be the mess maker that other people are having to deal with. I've been there. But sometimes just in life, you're in a situation, you don't like it, it's painful, you don't want to have to deal with it, but you have to deal with it. You don't want to face it, but it's either face it or everything blows up, something has to be done, and you didn't cause it, and you didn't create it, but you're in the middle of it, and you got to deal with it. That's where they are. They didn't make the waters bitter. They were thirsty. They needed it. 3 days in the desert, and now they're here. They didn't cause it, but they got to deal with it. Just the way it is. In life, some of you may be in that situation. Maybe, you know, in a family or in a marriage or in a work or that kind of situation. And what happens is that if you're not careful, because you don't feel responsible for the mess that's been made, you begin to accuse. they complained against Moses. Why? He was leading them. And now, he leads them in, here's water. Good job, Moses. First drink. Moses! Spin on a dime. Maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe you've had the fingers pointed at you. You see, we're not to be finger-pointing people when we find ourselves confronted with problems or crises. We don't need to be the people who point the finger. We need to be people that are willing to lift a finger to help, right? To apply ourselves, to provide solutions, and God will help us do that. God can bring words of wisdom. God can give you visions. God can give you a dream. The Holy Spirit can bring a scripture to your remembrance so that instead of being the ones just complaining and adding to the strife and conflict and upping the threshold of stress on everybody, you could be the person calm in the storm, carrying the grace of God to begin to address what's going on. You see, we believe here at Grace House that we can be atmosphere shifters, right? You know, we're to be that way. And so the enemy's going to war against us to use our words and use our mouth to release that which is contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants us to release. So they start complaining. They start coming against Moses. And in essence, they're choosing to use their voice to magnify the problem. If you begin to use your voice to magnify the problem, you begin to contribute to the problem. If you continue to magnify and contribute to the problem through how you're using your mouth, then you bring yourself under the authority of that problem. You bring yourself in submission to that problem and the spirit that's behind that problem. And we just have to remember that. How we respond to the problems we have to deal with is very, very important. Now, the second lesson ties in with this. God has a plan before you have a problem. No matter what problem you find yourself confronted, whether it's one of your own making or the one someone else made, you may not even know who made the problem. Maybe you've got a new job and you're following someone that left and you've got a desk full of problems. It could be 1,000 different things. But God will always have a plan before you ever encounter your problem. Like when Moses and these children of Israel showed up at these waters that they thought would be sweet, but they were bitter. It's not like God said, oops, missed that one, didn't I? It's not like God said, oh my goodness, I didn't realize. When did this happen? The last time I checked, this was sweet water. What's going on? God's never in that situation. Although we respond sometimes like He is. Like, God, where were you? You missed it, didn't you? I thought you said. All of these are questions that indicate that we feel like God had somehow failed on the job. But God has a solution long before you have your dilemma. He has a plan long before you have your problem. So, remember that. Now, we have learned, we who are older are learning, the younger people, they catch on quickly, but we have become a tech-savvy culture. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in the last week have used Google or another search engine of your preference? How many of you have used Google to look for an answer to a problem? To try to figure something out. And it'll give you 389,632 different options, right? I mean, in less than a second. All this information for your problem. How many of you how many of you guys or ladies have used YouTube to learn how to fix something or to work on something? You know, I'm not gonna call. I can fix this myself. Sometimes when you take that route, you end up making a call. It's usually the fire station, but YouTube, it does all this teaching, right? We know how to do that. And we know how to use the search engine. Like, I can pull up Google right here. Let's see. What you can do is you can pull up your Google and just type in the word what, And you can usually see what the last thing is you look for. Okay, for me. What desktop computers have 8 gigabytes of VRAM? That's one of the last things I asked Google, because I didn't know the answer to that question. And I got all kinds of places to go to find a computer that will run our Pro Presenter and the new equipment we got, but it needs 8 gigabytes of VRAM. Now, I knew what a gigabyte was, but I don't have a clue what VRAM was, or didn't have a clue, but ask me now. Google, right? Folks, we serve the God that long before Google came along, that was made by mere men who tapped into the imagination and powers of which they're made in God's image and begin to use them. God knows everything. God is everywhere. God has all power. And as a believer in Him, as His child, through Jesus Christ in His name, you have access to wisdom for anything you face. He's never asleep on the job. He never has an emergency session with the angels to try to figure out a new plan. God invites you into the place with Him where you can be led by Him, taught by Him, and receive wisdom from Him and His Word. He'll always have the answer to your problem before you have your problem. And we'll run to Google and we'll do all this stuff with all these kind of problems. I've laid hands on my car and prayed for it before. And I've had a few times it went wrong. I think I got into that authority where Jesus cursed the fig tree. Yeah. But seriously, I've done stuff like that. I've lost stuff and prayed for it. And the Holy Spirit brings to my mind. It might not be right then, but an hour and a half later, you say, all of a sudden, it just comes into your mind. And you remember, oh, there it is. The Lord invites us to live that way, to be led by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance. The Lord can show you something in a dream. You can have a vision as you're reading the Word. He can speak to you and bring a solution. The Holy Spirit's gift, the Word of Wisdom, that means God gives you wisdom for a problem or situation you're in that's spot on. It's just what you need to know in the situation you're in. We're invited into that. Whatever's going on in culture, all this advancement, just let it remind you that whatever they come out with, it's a minuscule shadow a million miles away from who God is. I mean, we've already been trained to live like this. You know, you see people walk out in front of cars, you know, ignore their family, ignore their spouse, ignore their kids. Wait a minute, I'm talking to a friend that you've never met that lives in a country you've never been, and you don't even know if he is who he says he is or anything. There's just got to be some deception in that. But they're going to get rid of this. Another 10, 20 years, you'll be wearing this lens in your eye. Start with eyeglasses. They're already got that. Then they'll put a lens in your eyes where you're accessing the internet. And you just see it there all the time. It's almost like the enemy in the world wants to get tethered to us. So we need to be careful that we don't allow the pursuit of those things to keep us from pursuing Him who created all things. So God has a plan always before you have a problem. And thirdly, your prior breakthroughs. Now, all the problems you faced in the past that God saw you through, your prior breakthroughs contain the revelation for your next breakthrough. It's line upon line in the Christian life. We're responsible to learn our lessons and carry that knowledge forward to be able to draw from it with the next thing we encounter. We see it in this text we read this morning. They're just coming off of a tremendous series of breakthroughs. Go back, I won't do it, and read through the plagues. How God moved among Egypt, but He spared Israel. And the last one was the death angel that came through, and the Egyptians' firstborns all died, but Israel's were spared because they were under the covering of the blood. and then they were led out. And on their way out, the Egyptians are throwing silver and gold at them. And here's all our assets. Take them. Just go. Go. And they're loaded down with the wealth of the wicked. They leave town. As a matter of fact, the night of the Passover, they had a mass healing because it says not, there was not a feeble one among them, even though for years they had been slave laborers under the lash of a taskmaster, carrying stone, mixing mud and straw and making bricks and being burdened down. Don't you imagine there was a lot of arthritis and brokenness and feebleness and, you know, slow getting around. But after that night, there wasn't a feeble person in their midst. There was a mass healing, which is a beautiful picture of healing that's available through the communion we take, the blood of the Lamb. Now, they leave town, and then they're pursued by the enemy, and they find themselves facing a Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptian armies. These same people now, the ones who's complaining at Marah, they had just seen God put a wall of fire between them and Egypt. Now, Hollywood can make movies, and we can see that happening, but that's illusion. It was a real deal when God did it. A wall of fire that kept the Egyptian armies at a distance. Then God sent a wind, parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. When they all got across, here came the Egyptian armies. The fire lifted. Here they came, and God drowned them in the Red Sea. Kaboom, ba, kaboom, ba, kaboom, ba, kaboom, ba. One after the other, they saw these series of breakthroughs and miracles. Now, they're 3 days out in the desert, and they're needing some water. And they've forgotten all about that now. That's so much like us. What have you done for me lately, God? And we forget, oh, that last breath. But it's those prior breakthroughs that provided them with the revelation that when they faced the, were thirsty, you know, the Lord knows we need water. If He can create a wall of fire, if He can part a Red Sea, if He can control a whole sea, surely He can send a trickle of water to us. And they later would discover He can make water flow out of a rock. Are you hearing me? We're often tempted when we're faced with these situations that are problems and crises, we're often tempted to forget the last one that God brought us out of. But as Randy's saying this morning, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, or the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That's the whole meaning of that is remember what God's done before. He can do it again, you know. Your prior breakthroughs. What has He seen you through? What are you facing now? Remember how faithful God was the last obstacle in your way. Now, the fourth lesson is simply the test before you will reveal the weakness within you. Just like remembering the past breakthrough prepares you for the next confrontation, just like David knew that God helped him slay the lion and the bear, so he was able to stand before Goliath. You and I have to remember that. But in the middle of it, you've got to step out in faith and do what God tells you to do. You're going to be tested, and it'll reveal the areas where you're weak. Number one, that's what the enemy aims at. That's the chink in the armor. And number two, that's the area the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen in our lives. So it just makes sense. Certainly is biblically accurate. Bitter situations will reveal bitter hearts. The test before you will reveal the weakness within you. I don't know if you've ever seen one of the documentaries. I imagine most people in the room have how they train Navy SEALs. Any Navy SEALs in the room? Yes, day before yesterday, my grandson and I got a little pool in the backyard. We filled it up with our water from our well, and it was ice cold. And I decided it was so hot, I'm going to get in that and have me a good time. Ooh, I got in that thing. My teeth chattering, And I finally talked my little grandson Abraham to get in there with me. And he got in there and he jumped out. I said, "Son, I mean I'm putting on the dog." I said, "You gotta be Navy SEAL tough to do this. You know. Get in here and stay." I said, "It'll get better, just hang in there." And I'm shivering, I'm wanting to jump out myself. He jumped in, he jumped out. I said, "No, get in here and stay. You can do more than you think you can do. You gotta be Navy SEAL tough. Don't ring the bell on me now. Stay in here." And sure enough, he and I both, I'm preaching to him, but I'm listening too, you know. And we sat in there until our bodies acclimated to that. When we first got in there, we said, "We can't stand this. It's just too cold. I'm getting out." But after you confront it and stay with it, you begin to adjust. Now, if I'd stay too long, I'd had to holler for Mickey to bring the ice pick. But are you hearing me? They have this training with Navy SEALs, as I understand it. It's called Hell Week. And the reason they call it that is because when you think of a place that where people are tormented, then hell's is the ultimate tormenting place. So they call it, they believe it, you know, they call it Hell Week because it's just so grueling and painful. The guys that make it through that week are pretty much past the test and ready to go. But during that week, you'll hear that they have a bell with a rope on it. And the guy, when they ring the bell, they're saying, "I'm throwing in the towel. That's it. I can't take any more. You know, I'm leaving Navy SEAL training." And so during the week, the bell will ring. And I remember hearing one of the Navy SEALs giving testimony about this. And they said that the toughest guy in their unit was just this little, kind of a frail little guy, scrawny looking, but said he's just so tough. And they'd be guys in there, have these big muscles and build up, and some of them would be ringing the bell, you know, the third, fourth day. And this little guy, if you look at him, you'd think, man, he'd be the first one out. But he's encouraging him. "No, you can do it. Hang in there. Don't give up. No, don't head to the bell. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it." You see, an outward appearance, you think all that muscle, but really it's about the mindset. About the mindset. I can make it through this. I can face this. I can walk through this. The test before you will reveal the weakness within you. And we have to be tested. It's for us. It's like looking in a mirror. What do you see? When you're in a problem, problems are like mirrors. You see things about yourself in that problem. What's it doing to you? What's it awakening within you? What seems to be the controlling influence in you as you're facing this problem? That's a mirror to help you see where God's aiming at, what He's wanting to work on. Now listen, all of us have weaknesses, and so it's not. I'm not saying, well, if you've got an area, ha, 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 we all have areas. But wisdom says that we learn, we acknowledge, I'm weak in this area. So we fortify that with the Word of God. We ask for God's grace to come in that area. So we can get out of these rinse and repeat cycles like the children of Israel got in for 40 years until they started just dying and a new generation finally made it in the promised land. In the challenge before you, and I know there's numbers of challenges in this audience this morning, certainly, it's like the sponge you put down in the bucket full of water. And you pick that sponge up out of the bucket and you squeeze that sponge. What comes out of the sponge is what's in the sponge. So you're in a crucible of crises right now, and the squeeze is being put on what's coming out of you. We know the Holy Spirit's doing His work when we start seeing Jesus coming out of us when the pressure's put on us. You're at Walmart, and the computers go down, and every aisle's got every lane at the crash register, I guess. And you're just real sweet about it all. Or you're on the interstate, and you're making good time, and all of a sudden you start seeing taillights coming on, and all of a sudden you look and you see the miles. How many miles long is this? Somebody way up ahead had an accident, but now you're having to deal with it. What's coming out? Am I getting too personal? The test before us reveals the weakness within us. So let's look in the mirror of the problem and put up the mirror of the Word, and we can see the difference and begin to adjust to the Word, and then we begin to see Jesus manifesting in our lives. Number five, apply the power and revelation of the cross at the first sign of trouble. God had a plan, as I mentioned, before the Israelites had a problem, but when they encountered it, God, and it said that Moses cried out to the Lord. He did, didn't he? And the Lord told him what to do. Here's a tree. Listen to Galatians 3:8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." The gospel of Jesus Christ would come like over 2,000 years later, but God was preaching the gospel to Abraham by telling him, through your loins the whole world would be blessed. God had that answer to that problem way before it would be encountered. And the answer was the cross. And it says, he told Moses, here's a tree. And Moses took that tree. The Hebrew word for tree there, it can mean a living tree. It can mean a tree that's been cut down, a part of a tree. He took that stick and threw it into the bitter waters, and the bitter waters were made sweet. The act of faith in doing what God said and throwing that tree in healed those bitter waters. That's a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did when He hung on another tree, the waters in you are made sweet. There's transformative power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you never trusted the Lord to be saved, in a moment, the bitterness can be removed from your life. The power and revelation of the cross needs to be applied at the first sign of trouble. What would Jesus do in this situation? Jesus bore all my sins, all my struggles, everything that in me would be wrong and sinful. Didn't He bear that on the cross? Didn't He? Did He? Okay, seven of you say He did. What about the rest of you? Seriously. Did He bear your sins in His body on the tree? So when you lose it, and you get hostile, you get angry or resentful or jealous or get upset or stressed out and worried or anxious, whatever it is that's coming out that's sinful, He's already bore that on that tree. So you go there, Jesus, you bore this that's trying to assert itself in my life on the tree. So it's already been dealt with. The guilt of it you bore. So by faith, now I receive your grace to apply the power of your blood and the work of your cross in this. And I crucify this so it no longer has power in me. We live our lives in this way. The blood never loses its power. And that brings us to the last thing I want to share. And that is, God desires for you to live in wholeness and to know His goodness. He revealed Himself. He said, I will put none of the diseases on you that were on the Egyptians, who were pagan idol worshipers, who cared not for the true and living God. And they were under judgment. He said, I won't put that on you. If you'll just obey me, when you obey the gospel, the judgment you deserve has been borne by Christ, and you are free from it by faith. God desires for you to be whole, me to be whole, for us to know His goodness. He reveals Himself as Jehovah Rapha. Now, if He says, one of the names I want you to call me is Jehovah Rapha, or in English would say, if He says, one of the names I want you to call me is the Lord heals. If He, did He say that in the Scripture? He said, I am the Lord who heals you. In other words, I won't, these diseases, they won't come on you. Why? I'm the Lord who heals you. If He tells us, call me by this name, refer to me by this name, I want to be known by this name. Now notice, this is the name by which He wants to be known as a reference to disease coming. As a reference to what bitterness does. Jehovah Rapha. In other words, if this is what God says, He desires this, we should take Him His word. I come to you. I worship you as Jehovah Rapha. Lord, make the bitter waters in me sweet by the power of your blood. I pray this in your name. I saw a young lady. Some in this room saw this. It's been a number of years ago. She was released from the hospital by ambulance. They carried her home to die. Still in her hospital gown when they got her home, they took her out of her ambulance. Her parents put her right in their car and brought her to church with a death sentence on her life. In a prayer room, a group of people prayed for her. And when it was revealed to her, several things, but when it was revealed to her, bitterness towards someone. I won't get any more specific than that right now. And that was confessed instantly. Instantly, she was healed. Sometimes bitterness, this is a story. The tree was applied to the waters of bitterness. Years ago, I was pastoring a church where one of the mothers overheard her daughter say something about her when she was in the women's restroom at the church and refused to forgive her, never forgave her the whole time I was there. You could see the bitterness on her. Would have nothing to do with her daughter. Daughter repented, went to her, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. It was hindering the relationship with the whole family. But no, you should have never said that. Well, all of us have done things we should have never done. What if God did us that way? No, I won't forgive you. You should have known better. You should have never said that. You should have never done that. You should have never gone there. Don't hang on to your bitterness. The Lord desires wholeness. He wants to show you His goodness, but bitterness bars the door of God's blessings in our life. It's a poison. I encourage you this morning, if there's any bitterness, repent of it. Don't be resentful. Don't be a grudge bearer. Well, they deserve it. What do we deserve? Remember, we just finished this lesson, run to the cross. Well, if you run to the cross with that and you look up at Jesus while He hangs there and He's being mocked, He's had nails driven in Him, His scalp penetrated by thorns, He's been lashed with the cat of nine tails, the leather whip, His back's been lacerated terribly, and He hangs there and He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Put what you're going through up against that. Don't harbor bitterness. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. Repent. Let it go. You may have been terribly wrong. You may have huge disappointment in your life. You may feel hopeless this morning. You may care not at all to even pray. You just feel like the heavens are brass. At least consider, ask yourself the question, could it be that my bitterness is holding me hostage in this place in my life? Because you will be miserable and you will be lonely if you allow bitterness to grow in your heart. God's a God of love and He desires the best for you. Our worship team is coming. We have to be honest. We're going to be disappointed in life. We're going to face times when we thought we were getting sweet waters and found out they were bitter. There's going to be times you have to deal with problems you didn't create. And there's going to be times when you have to decide whether you're going to be stubborn and bitter or you're going to humble yourself and get God's grace and mercy and be made whole. And enjoy the life you were created to live and enjoy. It's your choice. your choice. What do you choose this morning? Would you stand with me, please? Our altar workers are coming. They are going to be here for any prayer need that you may have. And we'll linger with people and pray as long as we need to after this service is dismissed. But this message is really aiming at something that you've got to pray for yourself on about this. This is your decision. You have to let the bitterness go. We can pray for you, but ultimately, it's what comes out of your mouth. Lord, I forgive this person. Sometimes it's, Lord, I forgive you. Not that he's done any wrong, but maybe you've harbored bitterness and anger toward God because you didn't feel like he came through. He didn't answer your prayer. Listen, God's always good. He's always just. And fortunately for you this morning and me, he's available and invites us into his throne room for his grace and mercy. Bow your heads for just a moment before we go. I want to help you. Bitterness has got a hold of you. Sometimes it can be in there for years. I just believe the Holy Spirit's calling us up this morning. It's time to lay it down. We can't advance. We can't move forward. It's holding you back. It's hindering you. Count the cost right now and let it go. Just say, Lord, I confess that I've been bitter. I realize it's a sin, and I've committed that sin of harboring bitterness and unforgiveness. And I ask for your grace right now because I'm making a choice right now. I forgive. And you say his name or her name before the Lord or their names. I forgive them. I let it go. I say, well, I've done that before and it didn't work. Do it again. Let God work. By an act of my will and in faith right now, I turn away from bitterness. I let it go. Now follow that up with this. Lord, because I want to do things the way you said do things, I bless the person that's cursed me. I bless the person that's hurt me. I pray that they would come to a deeper knowledge of what the cross means in their own life. I pray they had come and received your grace for what their needs are today and your mercy for what their needs are today. Release yourself by releasing them. Receive the benefits and power of God's forgiveness by forgiving them. Will you do that? Now, just as another testimony of your faith, while our heads are bowed, if you've prayed that prayer and you've applied that, I'm letting go on this bitterness, Pastor. I'm letting it go, and my heart is opening right now for God's grace. I'm going to pray, but I'm opening my heart for God's grace to come. I'm not going to leave here today with a bitter heart. Just lift up your hand if that's you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your courage. Holy Spirit, now, these that have raised their hands and maybe others who made the decision who didn't, I just ask now that your grace would come, Father. I pray your empowering grace would come and meet with them and visit them and empower them, Lord, to leave here today with the joy of their salvation intact. I just pray that that bounce in the step and the countenance would be lifted from heavy to bright. I pray, Lord, your light would shine on them. I just pray even now they would sense that burden leaving them like a bird leaving a cage where the door's been opened. Lord, I pray they'd sense a new degree of freedom in their life. I say to you, those of you that bitterness had a hold of you, in the name of Jesus, be loosed. Be made whole. I decree and declare of you, to receive God's grace, because he said, if you'll come, I'll give it to you when you need it. If you need it, just receive it right now. Take him at his word. It operates by faith. By faith, I receive your grace, oh God. Just tell him that. I receive your grace by faith right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freedom. Can we all say freedom together on three? One, two, three. Freedom. Again. Freedom. Again. Freedom. In Jesus' name. Again. Freedom. Now. May God's abundant grace fill you to overflowing. May His joy just bubble up in you. May you be a light, a shining light to everyone you meet. May you be a gospel witness, and may His gifts flow through you, His fruit be seen upon you. May His angels encamp around about you. May you be supernatural sons and daughters of God who are releasing the kingdom of heaven in the realm of earth as you leave this place today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. This altar is open if you need prayer. You may need prayer in some other way. We're going to be here for a little bit to pray with you. You feel free to come. Otherwise, bless you and thanks for being here today at Grace Hall.